Yay!
Episode 124.
I like that.
Like she
I know.
I'm Honey Badger.
And I'm Deja.
Yay! We're back for new show in 2024. Oh, 124, 2024.
Ah! Right on the money.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that.
You have to give it to me.
Have it.
Thank you. I'll go do that next time. Give it to me. Have it. Okay. All right, so let's just get into it because we have a lot to, not a lot, but we have a bit to get through.
Mm-hmm.
So, first video on the list. Now, I wasn't sure if you guys included this because I did send this a week before.
Which one?
The Is It Worth It? Ray Kelly? Did you guys watch that?
Khaled?
No, Ray Kelly. Or did you start from The Weeknd, Madonna?
Ray Kelly is here. Is it worth it?
Yeah, okay. So that's the first
one. So you sent that? Uh-huh. Yes. Is that me?
Yeah, so Ray Kelly. Is it worth it?
Okay.
What do you guys think of this? This is a new signing to Anderson Paak's Ape Shit Records.
No, it wasn't. But go ahead, did you?
Oh, yeah, go.
So I wrote, I feel I've heard this before.
Yes.
I don't think the lead's voice was strong enough.
Okay.
I think the instrumental is very cool.
Oh, I want the instrumental.
But it overwhelms Ray. It felt very, I think Honey's words were so Quarian like.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. That's why I felt I've heard it before. It was a chill, cool
chill
song.
Yeah.
The video, again, very, it felt like it was live, but. Was it live? It wasn't live.
Apparently it was live.
Okay, I suppose it was live, but not in front of an audience.
Okay,
yeah.
So it felt live, very, very clubby, like comfortable sort of thingy.
Yeah.
Cozy.
But I just felt that like a lot of Soquarian songs back in the day, because they released so many songs that are similar to this, and because the people's voices were not distinctive enough or strong enough, because it felt like very bad video games of the 90s where the track is higher than the voice.
Okay, I see.
That's what it felt like to me.
I see.
So that's quite interesting because when I think of the Soquarians, and I know I'm going to name some here that are some people's queens, but I don't think that the reason maybe they didn't blow up as much was because maybe they had the same issue.
Mm.
So when you think of the Angie Stones or the Ledisies, they were great in terms of, you know,
exactly,
what they did.
Exactly.
But they were not always so memorable.
Yes.
I mean, because when you juxtapose that against Jill Scott, who's memorable, had a very strong voice, you know, and very distinctive, you can see there's a difference.
Yeah,
and when you then also juxtapose that against, you know, Erykah Badu's very distinctive, even though Erykah Badu doesn't have the strongest voice, but she knows how to actually play it. And I just felt that it could just be background jazz club music to me. It's good, but the fact that I preferred the instrumental and the production to the singing just felt like, you know, when we were watching the video for, is it Jungle?
Oh, yeah.
So, now that is just so distinctive to me.
Yes.
So, exactly. And I'm listening to this and I'm going, okay, it has similar vibe, but it is not, it's not memorable.
Okay. I agree that it's not memorable, at least the Jungle song. I agree with that. I think what I liked about this, primarily, if I take it down to brass tacks, is the production. I loved the production, and I loved the backing vocals on this. I don't know why. It was just so...
Didn't it all sound like backing vocals, though?
No, shut the fuck up.
It's because I think what confused me at first was when I saw it, and because of the name Ray Kelly, I thought, is it the group? Because I thought, was it a group at first? I noticed, okay, so she's the lead. So I said, okay, that must be Ray. And then I was like, but why are the two standing so close to her? Like, I didn't understand.
They were kind of doing like some kind of 70s vibe kind of
thing.
Yeah, but I was thinking that maybe another reason why her voice wasn't distinctive was the fact that they didn't actually have them as backing vocals.
Yeah.
So she could
lead.
Yeah, so if you're building, I'm like, well, is this harmonized? Is this a Destiny's Child thing?
I see.
That's what confused me because I was thinking about people like, what's that lady? Diana Ross, and when she had
the Supremes.
And then she was
front and center,
and then they, you know.
But remember, they sent her as the Supremes before they became
Diana Ross
and the Supremes.
Absolutely agree.
Very true.
Absolutely. And
Barry
remember,
Gordon was like, yes.
No, but that's a strong point because when they were the Supremes, it was about the Supremes. That's why I thought, okay, is this
that's a good
point. As a group or is it Rekali and then Tubac involved? Like, it was confusing.
That's a very good point, but because that artist, as a new artist, they could have made that distinction, because I can see, I get it.
Especially even the thumbnail was very...
Yes, because it's three people.
Yeah, so I was like, oh.
And they're not even like in, like, the backing dance, the backing singers are not in the same outfit as well. They're like...
Individuals. So I thought, okay.
If you're new to it, you're like, is it a group? Or...
Because what I was waiting was like, oh, let me hear the sing voice of each three. I was like, oh, they also are backing people. Mm. That's what put me off. But we'll see with our next song.
Yeah, but sorry, we interrupted you.
Oh, sorry.
You like the backing vocals?
Yeah, I like the backing vocals. It reminded me, actually, I think the same producer, I don't know, I haven't checked this yet, but I do think one of the producers on Silk Sonic was on this. Because I was like, that is a Silk Sonic sound. Oh,
the guy was playing the...
Yeah, and Sam Park was playing the drums. Oh, I think the producer as well, Mike, because I was like, this is a Silk Sonic sound.
Because he produces, doesn't he?
He produces.
So I bet you produced the song.
Yeah, I think he will. But he also plays drums. Oh, I know, this lady is on his label.
Ape Shit.
That's why he's in there. So okay, I'm thinking he probably got the guy from that album on this, but I'm not sure. It's all speculation.
Okay.
But anyway, let's move on to the next thing. I liked it, but I do agree with a lot of what you guys have said. The Weeknd, Madonna, Playboi Carti. Let me know anything in your pocket.
So could I start? Because I was the one that brought this in. Yeah. So, now, you know, I don't need to say anything because people already know my feelings about all these people who are on this, maybe apart from Playboi Carti. So when I first heard it, I was going, oh, is it Neptune?
Yeah, the hook.
Exactly. And apart from that, the Neptune's bit where they ding, 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 because it sounds, some of the production and the instrumental sound a bit like the work the Neptunes did on the Justified album.
Yes.
So I was thinking to myself, okay. And then I was hearing the chorus going, ding, 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 ding. I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden, I heard some squealing. I was like, I'm sorry, is this language? I was like, oh, okay. Then I was like, oh my God, this person is really destroying my listening experience. And then Madonna, I was like, okay, not bad. But then obviously I couldn't really hear her voice afterwards. So I'd already heard the track. So I then watched the video. And I thought, oh, I need to share this with the family.
Why? You don't have
to share with the family. Okay, honey, this is where you and I differ. I saw the video, I was like, I can't share this with the family.
Because let me tell you why I put here. I put, look, The Weeknd was really feeling himself. He's a komole.
And I was like,
But I just thought to myself, so this is me looking at video and consuming videos. Okay. I was going, first, did anyone storyboard this?
No.
Did anyone style this?
No.
Did anyone think about how to light this or anything? Because he just felt that The Weeknd was just walking around, maybe blending palettes or blending colors or what do you call
it. Yeah, I thought it was
then
the shooting
mirrors, things.
But, no, yeah.
But it almost seemed to me that the only person who turned up professionally was Madonna.
Yeah, Madonna.
In terms
like,
of, okay.
This ain't new to me.
Thank you. I'm not new to this particular game. So it seems like she was styled. She had poses, you know, in the right frame, and you know, the space didn't seem overwhelming. It seems like she really thought about what she was going to do. It might be that she didn't even think about it, but because she's so professional, she was able to do it. And then the fact that we're in all three different locations, and it didn't seem to meld. And then Playboi Carti, who I was going, why is it? Because it sounds like a mosquito.
It was like yapping. I didn't quite get a... I was like, what is he saying? I can't hear what he's saying.
So I hand over to both of you.
I was like, I don't understand. He's the worst part of the song. I'd rather have had Madonna do his part, because I knew I just don't hear what she's saying.
Yes.
But he was the worst part. In terms of The Weeknd, I thought Weeknd's vocals were fine.
Yeah, he's...
I know it's fine. Yeah. I liked the hook. The hook is the best part of the song.
But it's a repetitive song.
It's a repetitive song. I do think Madonna's verses could have been better because the talking took me out of it at first. I was like, ooh, the whisper talking. I don't know, whisper talking, rap talking. I don't know, whatever she was doing. I was like, oh, okay. It's a bit odd for this song because I just expect you to sing. But it was still fine. A little bit disjointed. The video to me... There's no cohesion. I don't know if they all filmed it separately. I don't know. It just, I just thought, okay, we're not really taking this seriously. This is more like we just do our own individual thing and see what happens basically with it. But I do like the song. I would love it if Playboi Carti's part was completely removed from it entirely. Mm.
But then when they were duetting, I really wanted to hear Madonna's voice a lot more.
Yeah, they needed to turn the volume up on her part a bit. Because she was being a bit overwhelmed
by the instrumentation and also the Weeknd.
Good, I'm glad you said that because I couldn't hear. Number one, I couldn't hear anything. Carti boy said I couldn't hear anything, and I kept telling Honey, he's not speaking English.
I said, look, he is.
Me in front of her.
That's what I heard.
He wasn't speaking English. Then I think that it sounds like a diluted Neptune's beat.
It does.
It's not quite
because
Neptune's
it was.
Beat.
I'm sure Metro Boomin was on this.
Yeah.
Weird.
and then it reminded me of the '80s. You know, that time it was that kind of thing. But then I looked very good on camera. I'm saying that specifically because I was like, okay.
But if you're a woman, if your woman is into makeup and lighting, you can see why.
That's why I didn't want to say. That's why I said she looked good on camera.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. I could see all what they've done, but. It worked.
Yeah, it did work.
It was Metro for me.
Okay. But I wrote...
Mike Dean.
And who?
Mike Dean.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't quite hear her singing. Mm-hmm. Her singing was good. It's kind of what you said, where it felt a bit drowned out.
Did it sound a bit like 4 minutes to save the world? If you her kind of singing, that talking.
Yeah.
But I think I only forgive that because the beat for that was so good.
Yes.
But yeah, I agree.
And then there was all the Madonna.
I agree.
Because
now I felt that Weeknd it felt like
why is it when he drag?
It felt
listen.
Number one, I wasn't feeling whatever he thought he was wearing. And I also felt that it was an idol song. Like the character from Idol.
Yes! Because also the fact that it's popular as well.
Yeah, she must be popular.
That's what I thought. Because I was like, oh, was this planned before? And it didn't work out. I don't know. I actually don't know.
Maybe they thought they were going to do a soundtrack to the Idol.
Because I remember coming out towards when that... The series
was ending. So
when
I don't know.
The series was ending. Didn't it truncate?
Prematurely. Yeah. They truncate. So who knows if? Yeah, who knows what the plan was? Anyway, it does.
I wouldn't have been surprised if I think then. Oh my god, this is so amazing! You know how it is. Everyone is there. You know, masturbatory. They're going, oh my god, this is amazing. And then you know what's going to come out of this? Then we're going to do an album. Then we could even tour it.
Yes, it was meant to be the second single from the soundtrack album for The Idol, which was scrapped.
Thank you.
This is where there's a circle jerk and everyone is just there together.
Do you know why?
Having bad ideas.
Because it looked like he has committed to that character. Because the way he was doing it, I was like, okay, this is idolish. Okay.
You're right, well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
That's all I have to say.
I love that we're back. Oh, Tinashe, the BB Angel.
Okay.
This is where we actually tied up well, hugged her and beat the shit out of her for wasting 20 minutes of our fucking life.
I'm sorry. I just thought it'd be fun to talk about. That's why I said
Tinashe would be fun for us to talk about. Tinashe.
So number one, I have to go educate myself on who this person was.
Okay, yes.
I don't know what the fuck.
And I said,
she's big in Korea.
Because they were stealing all of her moves.
Yes.
But I was telling Deji that, you know, we discussed on the podcast before. He was like, really? I don't know.
We did.
That's number one. Number two, I was like, okay, if she's trying. Okay.
No. Deji, you need to say what you said. So basically.
Oh, what did I say? I can't remember.
So, you know, we have a Brooklyn correspondent who was like, jeans and a
Yes.
We're watching. So after the first thing fades away, she goes off and she comes back and Deji was. Where's the wardrobe change?
I was like, I expect
a wardrobe change.
That's what I was going to say. That, okay, we've had the Lemonades of the world.
Yes.
We've had, let's even go back. We've had Moonwalkers of the world.
Yeah.
Right?
We've had Dangerous.
We've had Prince. And that is Purple Rain. And then she's telling me she's doing a BB Angel experience. 20 minutes.
Extravaganza.
Collage of video, and she just has one fucking...
She didn't even have an one outfit change. She just wore trousers.
Basically, to me, it's like software. I was going to say plugins. So she had a thing and she just plugged things and removed them as and when.
What's your point?
It's the same place, the same background,
yes.
The same dancers, the same lights, the same... And I know that she sang 7 songs or something.
Yes, yes.
But it sounded...
All the same. Like,
there was only one that was different, and it's the one of the from the single that I'd already seen previously.
You see, that's because you've even heard of it. For me, Virgin Ears listening to Tinashe, I was like, "What is this?"
Those ears are virgin. That's
not to Tinashe's music. I was like,
"New product.
What is going on here?" It was just
so you went in. Okay, were there any good things about it?
Yes. So I told Honey that it's better. It is better, Dupe, that she changes her career to choreography.
Because she can dance.
Well, she can choreograph. I'm not sure if she can dance.
I think she could do Paula Abdul. Because Paula Abdul started as a choreographer, then decided to punish us with singing. It wasn't bad. Because we got rush. When you kiss me, I'm up and down. Turn my senses on.
So, because also, just to educate people who listen to this, there's a difference between choreography and dancing.
Yes.
What's I call her name? Ciara, because she can dance. Right? I forgot her name.
Tinashe. She can
choreograph.
She can dance, but the fact that she curates.
No. A dancer, right? I feel that a dancer can freestyle anything and it will look good.
Okay.
That is why, and I regret to say this, but it's true. Chris Brown can dance. Right?
Yeah. Ugh, I feel good.
Ciara can dance.
Yes.
Missy Elliott can dance.
Yes.
Now, the person you just mentioned.
Tinashe!
Not Tinashe. The old school. Paladol can choreograph.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very well. Yeah. She can't just pull out and just go, she can't just dance. That is my own opinion. So I feel that she's a good choreographer from what I could see.
Mm-hmm.
If she's the one who indeed did the choreography, because she might have a genius behind that, but I didn't understand. I can't get 40 minutes back.
I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to come up in another person that we're going to review.
Another person.
There are times, and this is the thing, and I think I'll say this is the Carrie Hilson effect.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some people who are relatively good looking,
mm-hmm.
have talent for either choreography or for writing music, have a relatively good voice, and they're relatively good dancers.
Mm-hmm.
You notice I'm saying relatively.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden they think, I am a pop star. And then they decide to go into something that their talent cannot carry.
Yes, correct.
And then you have people who have talent, but do not have the right choreographers, the right writers, because the people who are supposed to be working for them have decided, oh, I'm going to do your job, but you can't do it well. Prime example is someone who has the right, that is basically a star, Chloe Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But does not have the right writers, the right choreographers, and the right producers.
Mm.
Because all of them have decided they're stars in their own right, and you're not. Tinashe.
Agreed.
Seems to be one of those.
Agreed. Agreed, actually.
And I know that, look, she has an army who going, oh, she, you know, she's been the most slept upon star, blah, 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 blah. There's a reason they're sleeping on her. I'm sorry. I know that I tend to be a dream killer. Because I'm like, if you've been doing something for 13 years and it's not hit, you know the one, you know when I'm, what's that band? Kiss Me, like, you know that band that, that's basically they've been schlocking away in the UK as a band for 13 years and then they hit on a day like this, people.
Oh, on a day like this. On a day like this.
Kiss Me, like, you notice that. After they had that hit, mm-hmm. where are they now? Because I always tell people this. I'm sure they went on with tons of money. But I keep telling people, there's sometimes that it's not in your star. But they will fight and fight. Well, I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate. Like, look, sit down. Think about it.
Gulliver's People?
Not Gulliver's People.
No, Gulliver's People.
I think they were called maybe Echo. Maybe Elbow.
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 Well, they had they had like two hits.
Elbow, yeah.
You know, they had like two hits.
So, if I spent 13 years slugging away everything and I have two hits,
and an that's amazing it. Voice.
Fantastic.
Guy Garvey.
But sometimes you can have that amazing voice using church. Use it to uplift people in your local community. Because, look, I'm not wanting to steal or kill people's dreams, even though I'm called a dream killer. Uh-huh. But there's sometimes that there need to be people in your life saying, look, you have talent in this particular place. Let's really play that up. Let's really lean into that.
Mm.
Not everyone's made to be a star.
Yeah.
I mean, I just saw Rihanna's performance at the wedding.
Rihanna
was not even performing.
No, she wasn't.
This is the thing. There was a backing track, and Rihanna didn't do any choreography or anything like that.
But she did a little choreography.
Whatever it was she was doing, let's just call it like. I don't even think she didn't go to the gym to practice or anything. You know what Beyonce says? Rehearsals. No rehearsals whatsoever. But I would still look at her and go, ah, she's so charismatic in the mess that she was doing.
Yeah.
Some people just don't have that. But they want to be stars.
Should I give an example? Let me give an example. When I see Timbaland, what do you think of?
The producer.
Okay. Do you think of the rapping album that he did? No. That he released twice?
Well.
Did you buy it?
No.
Exactly.
But he had some hits off that.
No. That's not the point. The point is, what made Timbaland? He's producing or he's rapping?
He's producing.
You don't give a shit when he raps?
Missy.
Missy's.
Because Missy also produced.
Yeah.
And she also choreographed. Yeah. And she also wrote. But she's a star.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see what you mean.
Let's put it this way.
I see what you mean.
The music industry is made of just like film. There's cast and crew. If suddenly there's a crew person that say, I saw an actor.
I am cast.
You are a fucking crew member. You are the boy grip.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it.
And I think this is the thing. Everyone thinks their face should be the one in front of the camera. I'm like, no, darling. It isn't.
And also, it's not to denigrate Timbaland because, you know, you have directors who can act.
Mm.
But not all actors are fucking directors.
Directors who can act.
Yes, so...
I'm trying to think of who started as a director and not an actor. It's the other way around.
Yeah, actually, it's true. You're right about that. Mm. So, you know, I just find sometimes that there are some people who are good at certain things, and just because they're not in front, you don't have to always be, you know, the front success. You can be the back success.
Because look at the fact that there are so many people... who actually were writing songs or were backing vocalists to a lot of really big people back in the day.
Yes.
Those people now, they'll think they deserve an album deal. They'll believe that they actually... Mm. I ever really... But that is what happens when they don't get people... You ever just spinning around?
Anyway.
Look.
I'm tired. You need to stop.
I don't say that, back in the day was better... I'm not saying that because it's meant that there's a lot of talent we didn't see.
Yes,
but there's too much. It's very difficult sorting the wheat from the chaff. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, so... That's not fair.
You should say fuck Dupe for forcing us to watch Tinashe stuff.
I have nothing but good vibes for Tinashe, our sister in Christ. I want her to do well.
This
is it.
I don't think so either.
You know, but I agree that she could be a very good choreographer and all. And I'm just going to keep it there because good vibes to you, Tinashe.
She's saying that we're the bad vibes people and she's the good vibes
people. I read that this is, according to her, this is her best work.
Ooh, why would you say that?
That's from the lips of Tinashe. Tinashe, or whatever her name is. So, I just...
Okay. Maybe other people might like it.
And also, Honey and I noticed, and props to her, that obviously she's independent, so she's trying her best.
Yes, she is.
I will give her that, but sometimes. Anyway.
You know, it is what it is.
Mm.
Mika, Jane Birkin.
Can I start with and then Alvin?
I love Mika of long ago. You know, that song. I really thought he was great. You know, big girls were beautiful. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. Honey, this is not it.
Interesting.
I didn't like this.
Wow. Is it because in French, you uncultured Philistine?
No. I actually was like, oh, French. But it didn't hit.
That is okay. So I...
No. Can I start?
Okay.
I bought it.
Ah!
That's how much I think so. This is what I wrote. I thought it's my fave so far. I think it's lovely singing. me thinks this is going to be a hit in Francophone countries.
It should be a hit here too.
Yeah, but I think it's like, so this reminded me of a hit one with kids, Feel a Taxi.
But it's a parody.
But it's a parody. And I just thought to myself, okay, this is so good. I love the fact that it's also forcing, I think it's clever where it's forcing you to also read his lyrics.
Mm.
Because obviously, he has very in good lyrics. English thing, I couldn't understand what he was saying. Mm. And then I listened to his
melody. His
singing and the melody, and I thought, okay, he was rolling them R's, man.
Mm.
Like, the guy can clearly speak French.
Yeah, clearly. Without any.
And I checked, and he released a French album.
Oh, has he?
Actually, this has come out of a French album. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. The video was very interesting. It held my attention with the ice skating and the colorful clothes and everything. In the beginning, I was skeptical. By the end, I talked to her and I said, this is it. So that's my feeling on it, honey.
So for me, the reason I shared it was because it just made me feel happy. So I just thought to myself, oh my God, it's so twee. With the song and the beats, the ice. It just felt really wholesome to me. And I felt it was very well choreographed and showcased the hard work of just ice skating. And I just felt it sounded so very French and adorable.
It does. It was very French and adorable.
So that's why I liked it. But I can understand, look, it's not a first cup of tea.
The chorus just didn't hit for me as other Mika pieces of work. Exactly. Like Grace Kelly.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, because he has Grace Kelly and he has Jim Burke.
Okay, I know.
And when my best was always talking about piscine, you know, the swimming pool.
Yeah, I know.
And writing it up, I was like, okay, interesting.
I do think he's an artist.
Yeah.
He's very, he knows himself. He basically, I do find him fascinating as a person. So, more power to him. Dua Lipa training session. I know. I tell you, Susan. I know. I was exhausted at this video. I don't know how to explain it. I felt,
I was disappointed.
Dua.
A lot of potential.
Dua.
Was lost.
Dua. Hey. All this investment, future nostalgia, levitating, everything else. What the heck? She's got more color than this.
She does. I didn't like this video at all.
The first one that she did with Houdini, Houdini.
Oh, now we heard the truth about that. That she did have a whole video with like, you know, a lot of stuff going on, but it had explosions and stuff. And then because of the Gaza war and all, she pulled it and did that video instead.
Okay.
So that was the story behind that. Because we did go, that's okay. A bit cheap.
Okay, understood.
Video.
Now you have a do-over.
Yes.
So what did you do?
She got a bunch of men to dance around her. It was fucking weird.
It just felt really drab. And I said, oh, this must be the UK then. We got bad vibes.
She was drinking tea. Mm.
Exactly. And
yeah, I think she is based here.
She's
now
based in New York.
Yeah, because she's British and also, was it?
Kosovan?
Is it Kosovan? Yeah, Albanian or Serbian?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think.
And Kosovan. I don't want to, because I know there's tension in that part of the world. Mm. So I don't want to attribute the wrong thing to the wrong person. First I said, look, I do not like the song. I can see what she's trying to do and it falls short. As the only part of the song I like is the chorus.
Mm.
And this is because it sounds like something I have heard before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the song is a bit dull, like the video. The video is boring, and the voice message at the end reminds me of Booty Call.
Yes.
And that actually made me think that, okay, so is the video about, you know, almost like she is a lone woman on a dating app, and then those are all the men vying for attention.
I think maybe she's going like,
because I realize that. Yeah.
When you listen to, have you listened to
it? Yeah, listen to it.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, I'm not here to take your shit. I'm not here to train you as a man. You should be coming to me correct. That is what I got from it.
That's what I got from it as well. But that's a good interpretation.
I don't know if I should say this, but
Did you such a bitch?
Well, it distracted me. So what? In the video, I noticed like a Batman cow.
So you know how it is that since 2016, when they're doing when they're doing their concealer, where sometimes they go really bright.
Yes, yes.
So all of a sudden, it was like, oh, they're trying to hide their eye bags. I was like, no, that's the makeup choice they took, and they just like,
it's a Batman cow,
and it was like, is that a makeup choice?
So because it was just white. So I was like, what the hell is going on?
Actually, maybe it wasn't actually a makeup choice. Yes. Maybe she was using Apple Vision Pro.
Maybe.
No, because if it's that noticeable, because it wasn't just the concealer, which is under the eyes. it was across the eyebrows as well, wasn't it? So maybe she
was. Maybe she was.
Anyway, it was just
then she just said it was a reverse back.
It did nothing for me, so.
Not my favorite duo.
Disappointing.
Disappointing for the one. Lay and Love, Run Back to You. I love this song. I love Love. I have
Let me start.
So I'm going to tell you something. The reason I shared it, and I shared it on purpose, because I listened to it, I was like, this is for the white.
I love it.
Because it's so boy bandy of the aughts. The noughties.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay, let me be the downer and you guys can be the uppers. Okay. So I thought this was saccharine flavored poppy hits. Yes, it is a hit, but I think it will be popular with a certain age group and mindset.
What you trying to say?
I think it's too syrupy for me.
Too syrupy?
Yeah, so I said the sound is so noughties boy band, I had to share. Also, the multiracial male duo was an interesting concept as we're used to boy bands in odd numbers. Because everyone, you know, because we're like, oh, it can't be the gay allegations. Like, it doesn't matter. You know,
it's just one guy though.
Yeah, but because there's that
it felt boy bandy. I see what
So I almost feel like someone put the late 90s. Basically, what he gave me was
good video.
Makes me sick. You know, I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. Yeah, so.
And then if I had one wish.
Yes. So,
in the summer.
I still have that single. You know me.
Yeah, even I still have it.
Yeah.
So, because of that, I was thinking, this is a dope thing. So, I had to share it. And I was right.
I love it. I love Love. I think he has such a great voice. I'm not really.
Yes, familiar. I would agree with that.
Love has a fantastic voice. I'd and this is not that. His first, like, merry-go-round. He's collaborated with like a couple of K-pop people, even BTS in the past as well. Since making his way to China now, because Lay is a Chinese artist.
Okay.
But I think
the person I'm talking about, what's his name?
Oh, it's the man. It's the white man.
The white man, Love.
That's him. Even though it featured a lot the Asian guy who's Chinese.
He's Chinese.
Oh, okay. So who owns the song?
The Chinese guy.
Which is Lay.
Yes, which is Lay Zhang. Okay,
because that's why I was confused.
And it's featuring Love.
Featuring Love. Yeah.
Okay,
I think Love does amazing melodies.
Okay.
There's not a melody that guy doesn't like.
Okay.
It's a sweet melody.
Okay.
I really like the song. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Lay, is he new?
He's came out in the last 3 years in terms of into mainstream, but he's not massive. People like him.
He's not Troye Sivan.
Exactly, he's not Troye Sivan.
Because I thought
you know that guy that you like. What's that guy's name? The one that
the tiger.
He's not like on his level.
Yeah. Because I did think he's not, but I thought to myself, okay, this guy seems interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
I have words for honey, Chinada, for one last time. Honey, I need my time back.
Change your mind.
This was really bad, Desiree.
Yes.
Really, really bad, Desiree.
Yeah.
Like, you remember, I remember Aya telling me that one of his form tutors was like watching the video for Life and going, what the fuck is this from the lyrics? Like, I'm afraid of a ghost. Is this what I hate most? I run out of pizza toast. Watch Evening News. I thought that is better than this.
Wow.
I did not like it.
Okay, all right.
It was very 90s and the bad time of the 90s. Where they just used to use 5 buttons for the techno songs.
Yep.
That's what this reminded me of.
Okay, I agree with you, but I think you are overly harsh. Let me tell you why.
Because
I think this is very much, to me, this is a very much my first music video kind of song.
Oh, my first music video.
That's what it felt like to me. It felt like a newcomer.
Yeah.
Amateur, come in, do a music video. It's sweet, but her voice, I cannot tell if she can sing or not.
I
just couldn't tell.
This is where A&R needs to step in.
It felt like there wasn't someone guiding her. Yeah, I don't think someone was guiding her. It feels like it's fresh, but honey might tell me otherwise. It felt
she just wanted to do research.
She knew. I thought she knew.
Because I felt like she was absolutely new.
Please Google her.
But I just thought to myself, okay.
So you're wondering why I shared it?
Yes,
why?
I am.
Okay, so first, when I heard it, I was like, okay, this girl can sing. But to be honest, if we're going to allow by Billie Eilish to have a career, and Lana Rae to have a career, why not her? But it was also because it reminded me a bit of early Corinne Bailey Rae. But in a dance way with Chill, I Be Surviving. In terms of, you know, in terms of someone's taking that chill vibe and then having a dancey thing. And then it also reminded me of Lonnie's Summer of Love. You know that?
Summer of Love? No.
Honey. So honey, that, honey, no.
S-O-S. That
nope,
one.
Nope. No.
I reject it.
Let me finish.
No.
So I saw all these blends of things and I just thought it just felt really twee and sweet. I was like, well, why not share it?
Well, she's just come.
I know why she's popular. She's a TikTok person.
Yeah, she's a TikTok person. She's 16.
Don't hate on the teens.
No, don't hate.
Actually, remember that girl. Fucking hating.
No,
it's a TikTok and
I thought it was just that's not true. Summary.
They've been that other black girl I really liked that I inflicted on you guys last year.
She was good
as well.
With the flower something.
Yes.
I thought she reminded me of her, but I felt that she was just slightly ahead.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
For because this song, like a bit more industry.
Yeah.
For this song,
well, maybe the other girl was a bit more industry.
And
she's trying to basically, oh, notice me. I can do some
because
stuff.
Her next song might be a banger. So.
But I just thought it was a sweet tweet. I was in my tweet like, oh, for one last time. I was like, actually, this is something that I can change your mind. I was like, I'm a singer. Look, why?
I didn't believe you.
I just thought it was sweet.
It was interesting.
Again?
I will keep an eye out for her. Trinada.
Trinada, yeah.
I will keep an eye out for her. If I see something out by her, I will definitely click.
She's been doing shit for a long time.
Really?
Almost 3 years.
So, but it's very like, it's very homebrew.
Yeah.
She's only 16. She's got to develop.
So she was doing this when she was 14.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so is she 16 now?
Yeah.
Oh, she was doing it since she was 13.
She's going to develop. She's going to. Yeah, fair. She's going to be way better, I'm sure.
Aww, she's sweet.
But that's why I said it felt like she's new.
She's new.
To me. That's what it felt like.
She'll develop. She'll be way better. But it's
okay.
But kudos to her, to be honest.
I just feel like, you know how it is. When I'm like, this shows how old I'm getting now. Because before, when older people used to do that, I'm like, oh, slap them on Jare. When I'm going,
you still have your moments. Let's not say that you're so benevolent.
I am benevolent, I'm compassionate, and I'm getting into my going from auntie to mommy era. Like, mommy, you're so sweet.
I don't agree.
The older guy's like, no, man, she'll cut you.
I agree. Pharrell Williams and Miley Cyrus, Doctor, work it out. I agree.
Is she cosplaying Tina Turner?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you see her at the Grammys?
No.
So this is her Jane Fonda, Tina Turner, because that's your
sister. Yeah, say 70.
Cher,
Bob Mackie.
I was a little bit. Okay, there's lots of dancing. A very happy Miley, I guess.
Very happy Miley.
Happy smiley Miley.
Now, I wrote it could be an earworm if heard enough times, because that kind of song.
Mm.
The video was weirdly focused on her.
Her veneers.
Mouth, teeth,
and those amazing veneers. I don't know if she's trying to advertise the veneers because I've never seen a veneers that great.
Fantastic.
Is this her teeth?
Yeah.
But veneers. Like she's had her teeth done.
Okay, because I did think to myself, if I was, I don't know, a fan, I'm going, where did she get her teeth done? Because it just seems, and I was expecting to see Pharrell, but obviously Pharrell then produced it.
Yeah.
So is it a Pharrell? Like song, the kind of things where producers do where they would release
Mark
a song,
Bronson.
Yeah, Mark Ronson style. So he's releasing an album?
No, so the story behind this is that Pharrell produced this
for bangers
years ago, but they felt that
it's about your bangers.
Yeah,
I always,
because he has the song on bangers, which name I don't remember now, but this was the second song he produced for her.
But it wasn't the
right
time,
they were like, he was like, it's not the right time. So I watched the interview he did with Zayn yesterday. And Miley was on as well. And he was like, oh, we didn't think it was the right time to release it. So he said that, look, there are a lot of songs that I've written for one person and then it suits another artist better. Or we sat on it for 5 years and then released it. That it's not...
That's Beyonce.
Yeah, because he said that, you know, it's not like... It's like the way that... what did he say? He said, you know, they didn't get the idea for the iPad 1 year and they released it the next year. That is something that develops. That's... you know, what happened with the, you know, that's what happens in music.
Interesting.
So yeah, and she said that the video was like that because of it's a celebration that she's at that point in her life where she's so happy. So she wanted a happy video and all. That she always wants her videos now to be a reflection of where she is in life. So that, you know, Flowers was one stage of her coming into her independence and then, you know, this is just showing her she just wanted a happy video.
That's like, what I thought.
Yeah. Mission accomplished. It's a happy video.
Guys,
don't know if it was for me. It felt manic. It didn't feel happy, like an intentional happiness. It felt like a manic happiness.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
so that for me, I'm kind of like, okay, I don't know whether this is a pill situation or not, but to each their own. And I wasn't feeling the song. I like the fact that it was kind of like a stock video because it reminded me a bit of her Wrecking Ball era and things like that. But I don't know. Maybe the song will grow on me.
I think heard enough times you will hum it even if you don't like it.
Yeah, it's
one of those songs.
It sounded very clappy, stompy. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be feeling or from hearing it, but it might grow on me.
Yeah, I think the song is a grower as well. I did like it, and I liked her interpretation in the video in terms of the dancing, the freestyle dancing and all. I mean, my mind wandered to like, oh, Jamiroquai would have killed this in terms of freestyle dancing. But I think it's a grower, and I like seeing people happy and all. So I was like, okay, I prefer this to like a video that is overstyled and everything. And, you know, like that song she did with Mac Ronson, it's a great song, but I thought the video was too overproduced and overstyled and kind of took away the Broken Heart or something.
Oh,
Heart.
God, where she was in a car.
Yes.
I just thought it was
too much going on, basically.
I didn't know what was supposed to be.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to be seeing?
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, let's move on to Ayo's old school pick.
No, we've got one more.
Oh,
we've got two more.
Oh, we've got two more. Sorry, because I just went on the list. Sorry, next song, video Fall Out Boy, So Much for Stardust featuring Jimmy Butler. So much.
Do you want to start?
For Stardust. Okay, so this is like the first Fall Out Boy song I've liked, not loved, but liked in a while because. Okay. I'm a diehard Fall Out Boy fan.
At least admit your bias.
Yeah, exactly. I am very biased. I'm stepping into this very biased. I'm a diehard Fall Out Boy fan, but their recent stuff hasn't been as good. That's why I haven't brought any videos to the fore. But I really liked this song. I liked it better. And then when I saw the video, I was like, okay, it's because the star of it obviously is always Patrick's voice. But I thought the video was odd enough that it's very Fall Out Boy, that we're gonna do a weird video and have like Jimmy Butler in like a cowboy outfit.
Can I ask you a question? Is this in your top 10?
No.
Okay, is it in your top 20?
Just outside it,
because
top 30,
it feels like multiple songs at once. It's very noisy. And
noisy. Cacophonous.
And yeah, cacophonous. Like, I just thought to myself, okay, this is exactly my thoughts that I've had with other musicians. I've said it on this podcast. There are times when I think people should retire. They need to stop. Right? It's kind of like Red Hot Chili Peppers. At one point, I think they released their last thing when we heard it. We're like, okay, guys, you need to stop. Because you are going to start to undo.
So diminish the producer.
Diminish what you used to do.
Okay.
So I feel they need to stop, or at the very least. Remember that song that I actually bought? Oh God, the
by who?
It
was the one. No. So these people used to do stuff in back in the day, and then they released the song. We heard it last year. The video was a drummer.
Paramore?
No. It was a drummer in like all this colorful fluorescent lighting, and they are almost like not a drum and bass or.
Is this? It's not Daft Punk. Is it the not British
Daft Punk,
one?
The British
Chemical
one.
Chemical Brothers.
So when Chemical Brothers brought that back, I was like, Chemical Brothers, but that was
good. Yeah.
And I go, okay, good. They didn't diminish what they've done.
Legacy.
Yeah. If you are, it's kind of like Madonna. Like, Madonna did well with that. Now, if Madonna does something else, and I'm going, what?
She has been doing we've all been ignoring it. Because they're like, no, you shall not destroy your legacy.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the thing. I think they need,
for people who were big 20, 15 years ago, they need to be careful what they release now. And I feel that that wasn't careful, in my opinion. That's why I even asked you as a fan. And when it's also in my outside 20.
Yeah, it didn't sound intentional. It sounded very confused to me. And when you juxtapose it against the music video as well, it also seems very incongruent. It almost feels like someone didn't actually sit down and curate this properly. It almost felt that maybe this was the song where they were feeling themselves, but you're thinking, okay, maybe this is your training wheels.
Yes.
Maybe you could refine it a lot better before you then release it.
Because I agree with that. It feels like it's the first thing you do when you are trying to get somewhere. And it's not there yet, because it just feels like a very good actor who now is just doing things for the check.
This is their rehearsals. Almost like it went Beyonce when we're watching all the stuff. Because I always bring this back, because that one works fucking hard. When she did Beachella, it's almost like her going, okay, I know the choreography because I've done the choreography before. Then her first basic rehearsal is then what she releases. So you can still see the genius there, but it's not being...
It's not refined. I think that because this is... I think it's coming from a new album coming out. Because the last album they released, I didn't think was it. I think it was very good. I think I've seen a difference with... This song is different from what they released before. That I agree that it seems a bit confusing and a bit cacophonous, as you said. I liked that they used a little bit of horn. Because on the second album they released, but there's a song called There's All This Ringing In My Ears, where they used basically a full brass band, and it's one of the best songs they've done. And when I heard the horn on this, I was like, oh, they're going back, they're actually exploring more stuff now. Because the last album I didn't like, but this, I was like, actually, this song seems okay. I agree, it's not the best work. But I think maybe I was excited. Not excited, but I was like,
Because you can see some of the seedlings sprouting.
Exactly. So I guess it's whatever the next singles will be.
I get what you mean. Because from my point of view, I feel like, okay, that's Fall Out Boy, but what the hell is going on? That's what I felt.
Yeah, of course, of course.
I understand.
All right. Should I do Ayo's pick before I do live?
No, because old school was always last.
Okay.
So
the live...
Is it Money Long?
Money Long, Made For Me.
We had a lot to say about this, actually. So, I think this is not a good voice. I think that they... So, you know, when it was starting, the first minutes, there was an arrangement. There was something she did that I thought she already failed to capture me. She started song, and you know, it was the bare minimum of the song. And then I can't remember what she did. She did something
where she just stood up. And that's what you're expecting the beat to kick in.
But it didn't.
And then 30 seconds or 45 seconds into the beat, then kicks in, because then she does a move and you're like,
it was...
You didn't have me. Because you're like, no. It's always like...
Then the key thing that Honey said that I agree with is that if you then imagine a different singer doing that, like Shanti Moore, for example, do that
song. Or even Chloe Bailey, who I've seen her performance.
I'll have gone, okay, because it just...
Another Tinashe problem.
Okay, all right, hold on a second. Hold on.
But I don't know if this person is new. I don't know who they are.
Oh, this is... She's been around.
Oh, okay, you know
who she is. She's a solid songwriter. She had a song last year, that Hours and Hours, that everyone was...
Did she sing it?
Yes. Okay. You see, this is what I mean.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm a songwriter. Let me give this up to someone who can sing. Who has the voice? Who has the talent? And who's a star? I was a star.
Okay, two things. One, I should have... Maybe because this was done this week, I should have linked the performance that she did at BET Awards, because I think that was way better.
Better than this. Okay.
Because that's the one everyone's using on TikTok now, that because of Universal has pulled, artists, but they can't pull that performance, and that one's actually quite good. Second, she's actually used to be a country singer as well.
Oh,
yeah, like went by Priscilla Renee or something as well. So she's been in this for a while.
Why did she stop country?
I I do not know.
But I think that's our first clue.
Okay, honey.
She's been in this for a while.
So has Victoria Monet.
I understand. But the fact is, one has star power, one doesn't. But even Victoria Monet, as much as I love her, her star power still has a ceiling.
Yes.
And I think this, people don't like to sort themselves anymore. It's like everyone is a 10. Sometimes you're not a 10. But you can do amazing things with what you've got as a 6. That, to me, I think is the challenge here. Because I think even Victoria Monet knows that she might not achieve Rihanna levels of, what do we call it, stardom. But she may achieve maybe a Jill Scott level. Or a level whereby you can all you can sort yourself and understand it. There's some things that I'm seeing that I'm just going,
okay, all right.
That's just me.
No, no, understandable.
Because I think you had a very solid point. Some of Victoria Monet has been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. But then I also look at sometimes people doing it for a long time. They differently.
Hold on. But I would say this, right? I would say this though. I am curious because if her BET performance is better, I want to see that because it just means she's not consistent, right? Which is an issue.
I also saw her hours and hours performance.
Okay.
And then when she decided to then segue it into a, you know, kind of like R. Kelly busted type thing. Not that she, no, not in terms of she was doing R. Kelly, in terms of she was doing those, she was influenced, I suppose, or inspired by all those, the storytelling that R. Kelly used to have.
Okay.
And even hours and hours didn't even get me because I was just going, other people can sing this better. I still feel that way.
I actually prefer the song to Hours and Hours.
I do prefer
this. I think it's a great song.
I really, and this is a pure R&B. It resonates. Great. It's good. But the fact is, I think this song could be as big as Texas Hold'em if the right person was singing it.
And you think people like Chloe...
Chloe, if she's not doing it, has to be shenanigans when she's looking to shake her ass on stupid stuff. If she actually came to it with pure musicality.
Because she actually covered it.
She did cover it. She did. And she was singing it. And I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Hearing her vocals on it, I was like, fuck.
You're right.
That actually. Someone, or Shante Moore, or someone, who can sing and can really imbue it with something. At the moment, it feels like a great song that is not being executed to its...
To the potential. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Actually, I agree
with that. I'm not looking to kill a dream. I'm going to say that again.
Kill a dream.
I just think... no, it's true. Because I've heard some... who was it? Because look at the fact that... Look at Sia. Sia's an amazing, amazing singer.
Sia.
But Sia sees herself more as a songwriter. And she gives songs to people. So the fact that Sia herself even had a career as a singer before she started doing all these types of things. Because even she herself understood... I mean, look at what she's doing, belting Titanium and stuff like
that.
Which
was a 07, man. That voice.
I don't know 07.
Yes, you do. We each other's destiny. Remember, stop trying to listen to that shit with me.
Stop trying to make me seem like the nerd that you are.
we listen to this together.
Because that's why she was like, oh my God, Robin. See Robin coming to the videos there. I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to go down a Swedish pop thing with you. Anyway. Look, it's because her songs now are better than I'm Frank. So I'm going, no. I jumped on the back where she was huge and she was singing.
Because that's...
Not before when she was all raw and stuff like
she
that.
She was great in 07.
She was good.
Destiny, Google it. Such a great song. But anyway, let's continue.
So, yeah. So I just think people just need to just take that into consideration. It's not that Money Long isn't a talent. She is. But I just think there's other things that you need to bring to the table.
Okay. Right. And it's time for Ayo's Old School Pick.
Yeah. I picked this because, you know, it's always our performances.
Yes.
And videos. But this is really about performance, a live performance. And I heard, because I as Honey has said it clearly, several times, I discovered Prince too late. He had died before I discovered him. I mean, Prince was around, but I was more of a Michael Jackson fan.
Yeah.
And you were not allowed to, you had to pick one.
You had to pick one. It's true, and you know, I had chosen it back.
But we liked some of his songs. Yeah, I did, but I didn't.
I didn't fully explore Prince's back catalog until I think I got his anthology. There's this disc where it has almost everything that released. Fantastic. Anyway, and for this, I said, okay, I did Michael Jackson last time. I'm going to try and do Prince.
Of course.
And I found this Baby I'm a Star Now. It's not the greatest song, but it's about the performance.
The performance was wow.
Yes.
That has energy.
The performance now can never.
The reason that pulled me was when someone said, and when he did eight splits in a row.
He did.
What? And then I saw it and he split. And apparently those splits, you know, it destroyed some women currently by that time. Yeah, because some women of a certain age, that's all they talk about. They go like, oh yeah, and the legendary eight splits that he did.
He was,
and
you wow.
know, look how excited he was.
He was
jumping all over. Look at that weird thing where he slid and then someone like jumped over him. And he started doing that. Dance thing. I was like,
and you can see that inspiration from Cab Calloway's performance, from James Brown.
Correct.
You know, you could see because sometimes when you actually see the dance and you're going, wow, I can see all the inspirations, even Sammy Davis Jr. And you just go, wow, this is amazing. You know, the fact that you can see the history of black music through dance in one person's performance.
That's crazy.
Oh, I didn't say what it's called. True. It's called Prince Baby I'm a Star. And I think it was a Grammys.
Yeah, 1985 Grammys.
1985 Grammys performance. Yeah. And it was, and now because I got too caught up.
That people just felt so moved and they just jumped out of their seats. I was like, hold on. Where did I get taboos from?
Exactly.
It cannot be
all that.
With the tambourines, look, they must have prepped them beforehand. I was like, okay. I was like, they've been doing this for time immemorial.
Exactly.
But what I thought was cool was after, literally during the performance, towards the end, he just walked off.
I know.
And left. And he literally left. And he went home.
He's the
swag. Because I was like, as much as I love Michael Jackson never had swag. Prince's swag.
My goodness.
He didn't have swag.
Yeah. Because I always tell him about this performance. I don't know what it was. I think I shared it with Deji. Where there was Eric Clapton, there were other, you know, these white guys that were, they're the greatest guitarists of all time. But even they had to bow down for Prince. You know when he came in his purple thing.
I watched this.
Got his guitar. Pushed, throwing himself down, and he had this guy holding him, and he was just spinning around, spun around, threw the guitar, someone caught it, and he walked off. I was like,
I saw that.
It's just
that's
beautiful.
One thing. He had swagger for days.
Yes.
For days.
Yes. Confidence and.
What was the thing?
He had Super Bowl issue.
They're like, are you concerned it's going to rain? And he was like, no, the rain should be concerned with me. Or something like that. Swag. Because Michael Jackson, yes. It's like in those times that black comes out.
Yeah.
When Michael Jackson black comes out is like when he's being like salty, like, job goes! Bob, job goes!
Lord have mercy! Because when he did scream, I was like, Lord have mercy.
Exactly.
I'm like, hold on. I didn't do, what?
Michael?
The South came out.
Really? The South dropped out.
That was the old school.
That's brilliant. Thank you for that. That was great. So we should move on to what we read, ate, drank, slept, this.
Okay. So I'm going to talk because some of it I actually watched with Han, some of it with you, and then things I've done. So with Han, we watched Arrested Development's season 1 to season 4. We did not watch season 5 for a purpose.
I will never watch
season 5.
The way Matrix 3 does not exist.
I don't quite agree with that, but yes. Yes, because season 5 is... And also, some of the characters had left by then. Actors had left, so we just thought, no. But we really enjoyed it. And just to be clear, for season 4, we did not watch it in the Netflix way, which is bullshit. You watch it the originally arranged way, which they call legacy or whatever they call it, and it's hidden in the more and trailers bits. It's very annoying, but it's very hard to explain. But it's done in a way where they unpeel basically an orange.
Yeah,
it's like an onion. Little by little, they kind of open up what the story is. That by the end, you're going, oh my god, this is crazy, and that different people were actually in the same background that you didn't notice. But the Netflix did it in a
remix way.
Where they thought they would do it in a chronological order, where you understand the story from the very beginning.
From the very beginning. I'm like, why? And it's almost like done, like, okay, this might be too hard for you to understand.
Oh, you might be dumb.
So, you know, we're going to make it very easy for you. Okay, like, fuck off.
That already tells me that Netflix is not very smart. But that's what I know.
And that's what they keep pushing anytime. After we watch one, they'll not push you back to their one. I'm like, I don't want it. Anyway, then we watched My Name is Monique.
Monique stand up
on Netflix, partly because of her show.
Club Shay Shay.
I don't like her, but continue.
But I think you should watch it.
No.
The Club Shay Shay one.
No. I watched a bit of it after her comment, and I was on her side. Then the stuff with her son, I'm like, nah, I'm good.
But I don't. That's what I find quite interesting, because I don't think that I'm always ambivalent on Monique because she's very male identified. But I cannot use the relationship she has with her son for me as the only lens I can
view. Okay, it's not...
I'm talking about me. Because I don't...
No, think it's not... I'm not using it as a thing. She's a broken clock to me. I think she's completely right about the Tyler Perry thing. I think she's completely right about Oprah. All that stuff. It's the way she goes about things I am not really a fan of.
Okay.
And the way she... I think what I'm trying to say, and I didn't put this properly, the way she's treated her son has just added on to it. Okay. Because of she goes on stage and goes, oh yeah, some old woman told me, no old woman, that, you know, I heard what your son said, yeah, fuck that nigga, and she's going... And this is the son that has apparently mental issues. Those are her issues. I'm like, I don't know. So I wish her the best, but I'm very...
The only thing I'll add to that was, I would admit that during the My Name is Monique performance, I did think it was odd that she was talking about her mom and sisters in a certain way.
Even her father too.
Yeah, but on the show, she said that she did not want or like the fact that Oprah...
Yeah, but there's a difference between... Remember, she was sexually abused viciously
I'm not talking about that. I'm even talking about the brother. She said that she would never use her family
It is because she was saying that she knows her mom ain't shit. But she didn't feel comfortable because she didn't want people to come up to her and say your mom ain't shit because your mom didn't protect you from your brother who's raping you.
Okay.
Even though she believed that was true. So the same way that obviously her son has every right to talk about how he feels and how he was treated by her as a mother. I know she's admitted the fact that, oh, she wasn't ready to be a mom, this, that, and the other. And she's very problematic. But I think because when, in terms of Tisha, the fact that, you know, she went to special education, how she was treated when she was growing up, all the abuse and that, I find it very difficult to be very... I cannot support her, but I also cannot decry her quite vehemently.
Because I know too much about her information.
And I think, for instance, if you have a bit of her information, it might be easier to go, I don't want to have more of that. Because there's a lot of toxicity that could come your way just from knowing a lot more. And it can make you a lot more ambivalent. And if you have strong feelings about something, you may just want to go, actually, no, this is a moral thing that I don't feel comfortable with. So I can understand that.
Okay, enough.
But in terms of the stand-up...
That's what I was going to say.
I found it very... I think the start wasn't funny.
Yes.
It slowly got... It got funnier. But it's not the funniest I've ever
No, watched. It isn't. But the way... I didn't know how her humor was like. And her humor is unique.
Yes.
She doesn't do it in the way that I thought. She's not like other comics.
She's very unique.
She's very unique. And she talks about herself. It was about her. And it was like a funny sermon.
Yes.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, but the sermon...
And that's what's problematic about it. Because
she feels so sure that she's right.
Correct. But it's funny.
Yeah.
But if you take it seriously, then you see holes. Is how I would put her humor.
But I thought she was funny.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting because she's Cat Williams also in the same category to me.
They're kind of in the same category. Yeah, I agree.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah, yeah.
His homophobia, his transphobia. I'm going, eh.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And then you also hear about the story about his abuse, his views of the world, his lived experience. Correct. Then you're going, ambivalent.
And you don't know when he's lying and when he's telling the truth.
Mm. So,
like, you don't know if he's doing it for laughs or if it's real. Mm. Like, it's very weird.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm glad I watched this.
His humor, very unique. Her humor, so unique. Because I've never heard someone deliver her.
The way she did. Yeah, she's not. I almost won't say she's a typical comic.
Okay.
She's very odd. Honestly. Because remember, after a while, I was like, okay, this is the weirdest stand-up I've ever seen. It's not stand-up where they're just making jokes.
Mm.
It's very odd. She's because she's talking about herself in a funny way. It's hard to explain. It's unique.
Okay.
Definitely unique. We watched The Marvels.
Yes, we did.
What is the top line?
Iman Vaseli?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Just before we started this podcast, I was watching the beginning of the Crunchyroll Awards, and she came on the pre-show.
Ah, okay.
And she's just... I wish her nothing but good vibes. She's the sweetest girl. Even the very toxic chat on YouTube when she came on, which I assume is mainly white males, majority white males, oh my god, she's so sweet. She's fucking adorable, and I wish her nothing but the best.
Honestly,
she is clearly the best thing on the show.
She's the best thing in the movie.
Now, one thing that we all said, I hope you all said it, you can correct me if I'm wrong. My issue with Marvels is what I compared to something else to you last night, I can't remember, is the fact that I feel that it wasn't honest enough. The issue is that there's supposed to be challenge. Thank
there's
you.
There's no tension.
The challenge between Captain Marvel and what's her name?
Rambo's daughter. Rambo.
Something Rambo.
Monica Rambo? No, that's her mom.
Is that her mom? Anyway, the Rambo. Something Rambo. Her was not written well, delved thoroughly enough, and should have been the crux of the movie.
Exactly. And also, so that should have been one.
Yeah.
Crux of the movie to have the tension, but they decide they want to go for Kumbaya, women empowerment. Correct. Bullshit. Correct. And you're going that, well, we didn't get to this stage of empowerment without a lot of tension and challenge and fight and everything, because that is what makes family.
Yes.
So they didn't even show any of those tensions.
Correct.
Then they also did not show the fact that you're trying to make that Captain Marvel made some really poor decisions.
Yes.
But you need to do it in a way where, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Correct.
I need to show how she, yes, is this lone wolf. She doesn't listen to anyone. They've set that or set that up already, but they needed to show dissent. And people say, no, that's not the solution. And she's going, no, I know I'm right. For that to actually work.
Correct.
And then know that she's wrong. Yeah. And that scars her. And she goes, oh my God, what do I really know?
Mm.
And then, fuck, how can I be a good example to my little niece?
Correct.
That should have been the thing.
Correct.
And she's supposed to have an awakening.
Correct.
And when it came to the crunch, it should have been she's trying to do something similar to what turned her into this villain to the Kree. And Monica is the one saying, this is how thinking. And then she comes to a crescendo. And then that is where there's an enlightenment.
And do you know what sparks it? Because where, you know, the third Marvel, Miss Marvel. Because Miss Marvel held Captain Marvel as a hero. Because you could also see her already going, oh my God, she's not a hero I thought she was.
But they didn't even
delve
that.
They didn't delve in that. Because what should have happened
is that feet of clay.
Is that Captain Marvel should have seen through the eyes of her niece and of her fan that what you're doing, your decisions have been poor.
Mm.
One person loved you without knowing who you are, and the other person was your niece, and you responded in a totally different way.
Mm.
Like, I just felt
I'm a big fan of Nia DaCosta in terms of a black woman. This is her first thing, blah, 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 blah. Whatever Kumbaya story they gave her to direct, I'm sorry, this was not it.
Because I want to know who the writers are.
Because how can men have tension? How can you have civil war and not go, actually, hold on a fucking minute.
I absolutely agree.
Because Civil War, to me, is the best film ever.
Honey, it was written by Nia Costa.
Well, sorry, we're wrong.
Yeah.
But we don't know who was...
Megan McDonald, who wrote WandaVision, and Alyssa Karsik.
But then we don't know how many notes
we don't know how many notes she got. Because it doesn't seem like they were allowed to cook. That's how I...
That exactly. I agree. Because this could have been a thing. You know, because when you forge relationships,
yes,
you forge out of steel because you fight, because you shout, because there's tension, honey, there's violence.
It's like you all said, they did this almost 10 years ago. Remember when it goes,
You killed my mom!
I was like,
killed my mom.
That was just, that was...
They was like, I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to kill Bucky.
I don't care if you're like friends. Because actually,
basically, get my way.
And the fight that they had.
Yeah, I know.
And your heart was breaking.
Yeah. Yes, because you're like...
Yeah. And I'm watching the Marvels and I'm going, okay.
Come on, guys.
I don't want to leave the cinema feeling good. I want to leave the cinema feeling ambivalent, conflicted, you know, thought, all those things as opposed to, oh, yeah. Here we stand, all our arms around the world, bullshit, when nothing has happened. I was so annoyed.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also sorry, that one about the fucking cats and
No, no, I liked that because that would have been a nice comedy if they brought the
drama.
Thank you,
because there was no tension.
Yeah.
So everything was really twee and saccharine and just...
Oh,
like basically, I think I felt patronized as a woman.
And not, yes, because another part that I thought could have also fed to the drama was Miss Marvel's mom. Because remember, Miss Marvel's mom was very concerned for her daughter and going, where is she? Where is my daughter? And that would have added more to Captain Marvel's
emotional
thinking. Like, okay, I've got to make sure that this girl is brought back home. Like, it just...
And then that should have been the impetus for her making bad decisions.
Yes.
Because you were like, I need to get you home to your mother. You're like, well, you don't need to make bad decisions just because you need to get me home. Do you know that? There's so many things.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going, okay, she should have been a flawed hero. But no.
No, they didn't do that.
They
Into that. Dubai, we watched Mortal Kombat.
Hey! I will leave you to your...
Now, I want to apologize to Dupe.
You better apologize.
I need to apologize to Dupe.
Do you want us to hug time and kick in?
Oh yes, my that's what God. I don't want a note apology either.
This was...
it was...
Okay, the first good thing. The first good thing was we both agreed that Sub-Zero and the whole graphics with Sub-Zero was...
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Amazing. If the movie was just Sub-Zero and Scorpion...
Possibly.
Hanzo.
Okay.
Amazing. I would have gotten by.
Dupe.
The problem is...
Everybody else.
Apart from Kano.
Yes, okay,
The actor guy who plays Kano, he's good. Back. He needs a back brace.
Yeah.
Because he carries...
Honey.
He was the only person acting. And he acted like he did it well.
Yes. Yes.
Well done.
He did it well. Everyone else, Sonya Blade.
Blade.
Kang! Oh my God! Lukang, you know the people that they basically actually felt bad because like they didn't want to feel your body. What I mean by that, he was good in motion.
Motion, but when he talked,
I was like,
oh my God. And what I loved was when when they would do random poses or they move their hand in a certain way.
I stood up. You know, the guy that is we thought was the new Scorpion, but he's not.
Yeah.
There was a part in the movie. He had a screwdriver. I was like,
spanner.
And they're about to fight someone. Like, oh, three fight. Was like, okay. And I told Aya, rewind that. Why did he do it? Why the flourish? And he's a terrible actor as well.
Terrible actor.
Like, absolutely. I was like, I'm not convinced by anything you're saying. Anything you're doing. How can you be in danger? You are worried about your family.
But you keep putting your family in danger.
It just did not make any sense at all. It just... And the person that was raiding, I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I get no Dumbledore vibes from you. Yeah. I don't feel safe with you.
Yeah.
Even Christopher Lambert.
Yeah.
When he was raiding.
Christopher Lambert dialed it in and it was better.
It was way better.
So, yeah. It was something.
It was... awful.
It was something. Let's just move on.
Yeah,
Sonic Hedgehog 2.
That was fun. It was fun.
I always enjoy him.
Killed it.
I have mixed feelings with Knuckles.
Yeah, Knuckles was weird.
His voice was very good in it.
And I'm glad the black man had the job.
Dissolver, because I did think that was a unique use of his voice.
Yes.
I feel like Knuckles was super serious.
Because they had to use him as a foil. Because, okay, he had to be different from Sonic. Yeah. And different from Tails.
Yeah.
And Knuckles, I'm not that saying that Knuckles is like, you know, third tier character or anything, but we don't love Knuckles like that. Like, he's cool, we like him, but he's not like, oh my god, if you name like, Knuckles.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so true. They had to kind of give him personality. Yeah. I think that's the best they could do.
Do with it.
And it kind of worked.
Well, remember, even you were going, okay, what's this story about them being warriors?
I know, like,
arachnids. Come from? Like, yeah, really? Arachnids. Yeah.
And it kind of worked.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah.
But it was just as...
Sorry.
No worries.
It's okay.
It was just as enjoyable as the first one.
Tails was amazing for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, sounded like a cartoon character. Mm. So I was just like, oh, this is Tails. I'm cool. I'm cool with it. Mm-hmm. So I was fine with it, basically.
So that was not too bad.
Mm.
And then I watched Loki season 2.
You watched Loki? Oh, you did?
By himself.
Now, I'll tell you this.
The Nigerian correspondent was telling me to watch it, and I was like...
It's better than season 1.
Okay. Ah, he told me to watch it. He said it was good.
It's better than season 1. They have written themselves into a corner.
Oh.
Because of what happened with the guy who's playing Khan. Because this... They leaned into the Khan thing.
Yeah, but
to be honest,
because they already made the plans. Yeah,
and also Jonathan Majors was very good in this.
He's an amazing actor.
Yeah, because
no one is saying he's not.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That is the fucking problem. Because
so okay, before you continue,
yeah.
I'm going to ask you something. You know, we always talk about separating the man, because Jerry tends to be the man.
Yeah,
from the art. Do you think that it might be easier for us to separate the man from the art a lot of the times because it's women that they tend to take out the aggression on than if it was something that men found really, really important?
What do you mean?
So, for instance, because of the fact that we're all socialized to see women as second-class citizens,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of the time, the reason a lot of men can be forgiven... Or it's easier to go, oh my God, he's really great at this. It's because he doesn't... The stench of whatever...
Okay, I
get it. It's lessened. It's not like...
It's lessened, exactly.
No, I don't feel that way. Actually, what I was going to say was that... I'm actually more upset about where they can take Loki. Because
okay.
I feel that... I liked this season because they corrected a lot of the bullshit... From season 1.
Did they remove the female Loki?
No, they didn't. Okay. But they
did
clarified.
Get her acting lessons?
They she acted. She's different. Actually, she's better.
Okay.
And also her point of view is clearer. She doesn't trust
Loki
or anybody. And as far as she's concerned, she can only fix the problem. And the problem
she's the only one
who can fix it. And the problem is the TVA. That is her goal. Now I understand her goal. She just feels TVA shouldn't exist. So I
respect
that.
So you can have
just
multiple different timelines doing whatever it is you want.
She feels that the TVA itself is an anomaly and that they are causing problems. Which
okay,
is
I see.
Kind
because
of
Because she's
true.
Seeing it as a circular thing.
Mm, yes.
Well, if you didn't exist, none of this would happen.
That is her point of view. Loki's point of view is, no, actually, we can work within system and fix it in a certain way. I get it.
Mm.
There's a new character from that movie about the donuts again. What's it called?
Oh, it's Everything Everywhere at Once.
Yeah, so the guy, the Chinese, you know, the...
Oh, okay, the dad.
The dad. Yeah. He's in it. He's fucking excellent. He also has a very good role.
Mm. But you know, this
well.
Is the thing. Talent.
I know. He's so good, right? So he's in it. And then obviously everyone else is in it. And the way they wrote the story was, I don't want to spoil it, was really good. And it was around Kang. That's the problem. And because it's around Kang, and it was around Kang and the other lady, the mixed race lady.
Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Yes.
Mm.
It was about both of them because you now realize that they are...
In cahoots.
No, she is... Without spoiling, she is... The main
baddie.
Manipulating and making him who is
going
what
to
he's
be.
Going to be.
And then also because when you think about Quantumania,
Yes.
And
yes.
the Kang in continuity yes. is quite interesting. Yes. And this would have been such an amazing story if Kang had then become Thanos, and then you also have those moral questions.
So that's
and he's
that's why I'm going okay, because the news has been out now. They have obviously fired Jonathan Majors.
They can still recast him.
And they have changed the name, so it's no longer Avengers Kang's whatever
dynasty.
They said nope, we are no longer doing Kang. That's what they've said, right? Because they didn't want to recast
because
him.
Because maybe it would have been weird, because people were saying, the streets were saying, oh, come on, Domingo. But I think they probably were like, we don't want to replace one black man with another black man.
But they've already done that before.
Very true.
So why are
they have? Why are they exactly? Maybe they just was. Maybe, and also, let's not lie.
I think it's a racism at play.
Yeah, it's a great line. It's a great storyline, but it hasn't worked well.
Particularly with
so they was probably Ant-Man. Went we're going to just remove it.
Yes. I feel that there's also racism at play.
Yeah,
if I'm going to be brutally honest, the fact that they were thinking to themselves, we're building this whole arc around a black man, are we comfortable with this? And also because obviously we know that there's been diminishing box office returns and things like that.
Correct.
So then when we want to reboot and go, oh, maybe we should go back to where it was all white, because let's be frank, our arc of a Marvels that we actually watched was not really the most diverse, and now they're trying to make it more diverse, and people are saying it's woke, so maybe they're recalibrating and saying maybe we go to our old bread and butter type thing, and this was a perfect opportunity to redo.
Okay, so the reason why I would say a lot of what you said has credence is because it sounds like they're going to lean on what I always said they should have done, unfortunately, which is the Skrull story. It looks like they may lean on the Skrull story a little bit, but
that's going to be difficult with today's political climate.
Yes, but also it means that what you just said, unfortunately, could come true, where now they may sign certain people for short contracts. Because the Skrulls have to impersonate the old Captain America, the old Iron Man. I can see that possibly happening from that point of view.
Because it's a way to err on the side of safety. Correct. If you're looking at it from an investment perspective.
Correct. Another possibility is that they could also lean on the other storyline
on Wanda.
On Wanda, correct.
That is the only one that I would actually go on.
They might lean on Wanda.
The Wanda one is good.
Or the third one is that they may lean on Doctor Doom. And they may make it such that Dr. Doom, this is what I think they're going to do. You will never see Dr. Doom's face. Because in the comic book, Dr. Doom wears that armor and suit and his face wasn't seen for ages. And they may lean on that so that they not really say that it's a white actor or a black actor. And if something happens, they could always put someone behind. That's what I think. That's most likely.
But you need the voice. They might do. So the voice.
Once because
the voice, that's it.
Yes.
Because
not necessarily, because you can now do AI. Because I reckon that they're gonna.
Yeah, but you still need someone to voice it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a voice we're gonna know. I don't think it's a known voice.
Yeah, but then that also then brings the issue of, remember when James Earl Jones was the voice of Thingy, and then you saw a white man. In the world we live in now, I think they will need to tread very carefully.
Very carefully.
But all this is just speculation. But as a whole, I enjoy season two, but
to me, because this is also my thing as well. I do think that the Kang storyline would have been a good one. I think the challenge would have been who had the similar physicality and talent as Jonathan Majors.
I think Coleman Domingo would have been a good one.
He doesn't have the same physicality.
He does.
As Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, he does. No, Jonathan, remember in the show, you don't actually see his body.
No, in terms of he looks...
Even if Coleman isn't quite as, because obviously
they can put padding, and to be honest, they spend most of AI generating.
And Coleman himself is quite fit and is tall, so I think it's possible. I just don't know why they don't want to cast. I don't understand the reasons behind that. But that's what they decided to do.
But we'll see, because obviously we're going to hear what's happened with Marvel later. Let me quickly run through this. I've played 5 games in between last podcast and this.
Wow. Which is why I don't think I know him anymore.
God of War Ragnarok Valhalla was a DLC of the God of War game. Very, very good. I'm very surprised. It's not a straight kind of game. It's a game where you die repeatedly, and you have to, as you die, you get more powers, and then you get stronger on your way to getting to a goal. It's a continuation of the story, and it is really, no, I don't want to spoil it. It's very interesting.
But I basically think, this is my view from watching over his shoulder, that it's a way to give a proper end to God of War in a respectful manner. That's what I think.
To Kratos.
To Kratos.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. To Kratos. I know Kratos. Not God of War, the IP, but to Kratos in a respectful manner. Because they know Kratos is well-loved. Yeah. Because in Kratos, I see Tupac.
Yes,
Kratos,
same. Same.
So to me, Kratos, as far as I'm concerned, is all my anger, all that, I just think sits in him. And I think a lot of people feel that way. So I think it was a way to give him a dignified end.
Yeah.
So how long?
I'll tell you afterwards. Okay. Then,
because you don't spoil it for everyone. Actually, don't. We'll just spoil it for you.
Yeah, actually, don't spoil it for me. I'll watch it thinking online if you find one for me.
It's not that kind of game. I'll explain. It's a repetitive game.
So it'll be boring to.
And then you have to do certain things. Then there'll be a story.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why. I spend that much time watching. You know, normally I'll be like, oh, let me watch this.
So I will explain
the same place again.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll explain to you. I'll explain to you why. Okay. Then I also played Jedi Survivor, which is a Star Wars game. It was so bad, so boring, so buggy. I actually stopped 6 hours in.
Huh? Let me tell you how I started. I was like, ah, DJ, are you playing a whole thingy? He was like, well, they said it'd be okay. It's better than it was last year when it was released, when it was buggy and stuff. I was like, oh,
that's
okay.
Hilarious.
I watched him. He didn't have the joy he generally has on his face when he was playing.
There's no joy.
And I just got up and I left.
And then after a while, I was like, what the hell? I stopped the game. So I'm not going back to that.
Okay.
I played a game called Tunic, which is like a very cute game about a little fox in this world. What I like about the game is that this is the first game I've ever played where they don't tell you what's happening. They don't tell you the controls. They don't tell you your powers. As you're playing the game, you find pieces of a manual, but the manual is written in a different language. And as you play, you have to learn a different language and then work out the manual. And the manual is given to you in bits. So there's 60 pages, and you can find page 13, you can find page 1, you can find page 23. And also, when you read the page of the manual, you have to figure out what you can actually do and how the world works. It's so fucking interesting, right? I have never played a game like that before. And it was like a Lego piece.
Was it taxing mentally?
Yes.
But that's good because it helps in that.
Yes. Part of your brain. Yeah. It was taxing, but it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Where you are going, okay, I have these pieces, but I don't have enough pieces to do anything else.
But could you also cheat by just doing something random on your pad and seeing
this? No, it doesn't work. I noticed that. So they coded it in a way
that you have to figure it out
before it actually works.
Yeah. Interesting, because I would have been bashing
buttons. Of course, rubbish. Yeah.
And also, it was done in a way that I couldn't think of the sequence that would. Even if it was there, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. Because after I was like, if I just did this, that would have... It was very odd. It was like almost like it guided me and I didn't realize I was being guided. Mm. It's very odd. Very interesting game. I played a called Vember, which is about...
So, Tunic, what platform is that on?
That is on the Switch, PlayStation, and on Xbox. It came out on Xbox first.
Okay.
And then it came out on PlayStation and Switch.
Okay.
I played Vember. Vember is a cooking game about an Indian...
I've heard about this.
Yeah, an Indian lady.
She just moved into the blog.
She moved to Canada.
I was going
to
get it.
With her little, it's really good. With her little child. Yes. With her husband. They had a child. And it was really about the child rejecting his Indian culture and particularly the food.
Mm.
And then she, her husband, things happen. And then in the end, the child has to sort of goes
back to the culture and then learns how to cook again. Mm-hmm. It's really a cooking game, but there's a story around it. It's really, really good.
I've heard about
this. I enjoyed that. Last but not least was I played Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core Reunion. Funny, some people play a lot of Final Fantasy the last...
Is this the new one?
No. So that's... So there is... There's Final Fantasy Remake, which I played during COVID, right? Which was the remake of Final Fantasy VII. Then they released Final Fantasy Reunion, which is a total... You've probably not heard about it. Which is a game just released. And I was like, interesting. But I didn't buy it at the time. And then they just released yesterday... Or was it day before yesterday? Final Fantasy Rebirth, which is part 2. So okay. A sequel to the one that they released 4 years ago during COVID.
Okay, it's that one.
But
got it.
In between is a game that talks about events before Final Fantasy VII. And basically, the reason I played it was because I find Final Fantasy VII to be fascinating. And I just find Sephiroth interesting. Crisis Core Reunion explains who Sephiroth actually is. Sephiroth is seen as a baddie, but Reunion shows you that there is more to that story.
But I feel that they only did that because he became this massive anti-hero and they want to monetize him more. Yeah,
true. But
that's not true because... that's not actually true because when the original Final Fantasy came out... What a lot of people don't realize is that even though people are obsessed with Final Fantasy VII, they actually released a series of games.
Yeah, so you think people just stopped at the ones that they liked?
Some people just played Final Fantasy VII. So
it didn't get to get a very holistic view of everything.
Correct. Okay, and they're re-releasing everything as a package.
Okay, that's fair.
But people are still focused on just Final Fantasy VII because people only play the numbered series. They don't play anything else. I agree that, yes, okay, it's a bit of a cash grab, but actually, Rico was his own story and it was actually about... Another person that I didn't realize was huge called Zack. There's a guy called Zack, and then there's Sephiroth. Now, I can't say anything on this podcast because that's going to spoil a lot. But this is what I will say. The main protagonist of Final Fantasy VII, who is called the guy with the spiky hair.
Cloud.
Cloud is not who he says he is.
Okay. You can leave it there.
That is all I'm going to say. I'm realizing that Cloud is...
I thought he was a good guy.
Same.
That's how if you play just Final Fantasy VII, particularly the first game, you're going, Cloud is a good guy. No, he's not. There's something else going on.
Okay.
And I will explain after, but I can't say it here because it will spoil things for people. It's a very interesting story and it's the only Final Fantasy I think I will ever play. I'm not interested in anything else.
Before you get into your last one, just so...
Oh, this is it. That's it. That was my last one.
Oh, I thought you talked about...
I've talked about Vember.
Yeah, so remember, there was a really fascinating one in terms of what yourself and Dupa reviewed. You know, the best thing you saw, Mortal Kombat. What platform could people watch that on?
Oh, that's on Netflix, but it's leaving soon.
It's leaving soon. It's leaving March 26th, so you better hurry.
You want to watch that shit? Yes.
Watch it for Sub-Zero and Scorpion / Hanzo.
Hold on. Honey, do you have anything? Because did I cover everything that you...
I'm sure she's...
Look, I've been working.
That's true. Actually, that's true. Dupes?
Not a ton for me. I watched Griselda, the Sofia Vergara TV show.
Oh, on Netflix.
Killed it. Ate, left no crumbs.
It's good.
So Sofia Vergara,
because I've heard of that.
She acts. Yeah, she's
wow.
What kind of story is it?
Non-vanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So basically, Charlize Theron. Yeah.
What kind of story is it?
It's
a drama.
He's a gangster.
It's like Narcos, but it's about the female. She's called Griselda. Oh God, I've got a last name. But she was known as like the only female drug pin.
Do you know what? Netflix suggested to me, but I did not realize it was her.
Oh.
Because I saw that picture, I didn't realize it was her.
Oh, it's her.
Interesting.
It's her. And I'm not a fan. Okay, no, that's not.
Oh, it's limited. Good.
It's
okay.
Limited.
So it's just one.
It's
off.
About six episodes. And I'm not I'm not a fan. I watched Scarface as a very young child. And if anything told me to say no to drugs, it was that movie.
And I agree.
And also, when I watched Scarface, and even to an extent Godfather, I was thinking to myself, if you're in this situation, you're going to die. So I was just expecting, I was like, there are people that I'm pulling for, that, oh my God, oh, okay, he's dead. So anytime I watch movies centered around drugs, I always go, okay, you're all good to die. I don't know how, but I feel a lot of tension when I'm watching, like, fuck, when are they going to... And
this is very dangerous work.
It's because, dangerous.
Because remember when we have these conversations, and obviously my capitalist brain always looks at it in particular. Because I'm going, okay, so there's a high mortality rate in this sector of the market that you're going to go into. There's low trust. Okay.
Yeah.
You're constantly under fire in a hostile environment. How do you even retain staff?
I don't know.
You know? So it's almost like this...
Yeah. I don't know. This is
a great working environment.
And when and to see why she gets into it, basically how she got into using her USP, being a woman, is interesting.
But staying there, your USP was against you.
Exactly. So it was interesting. It was very interesting. And when you read her story, yes, all this happened.
Yeah, yeah. Because I heard it was real.
I have to say, for her to be. To get where she got to, I'm like, fucking hell, that is an achievement.
But you know
how the industry, but
this is also my frustration a lot of the time when they say, oh, girl boss, girl power. I'm like, yeah, I know that we want to be in every room, but could we be a bit more discerning in the room? And also, it doesn't help that because women are so brilliant that when you then get into those situations, we can be more brutal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm going, why would we be choosing to do that? But, you know.
It was...
I want to watch it.
Yeah, you I think you should. Because I haven't watched Narcos. I hear Narcos, obviously.
Yeah, brilliant. It's really good, but it's
too... I'll just be tense throughout. And someone did tell me about the story of the second Narcos, which is Pablo Escobar's story.
Yeah.
They said that's the one that you need to watch because he did some fucking crazy stuff. Yeah. And I was like, okay, and... I will bring myself to watch it at one point.
But also, the reason I don't tend to like watching those types of shows is because I am always a bit wary of propaganda.
Yeah. Same. And I'm same, going, same.
The cops are not always here to save you.
And also, you don't tend to like... You're not a fan of gangster TV shows. I noticed that, you know, you may not mind watching a movie if it's unique enough. That's why I think you enjoyed Godfather series and you enjoyed... the one that made us swear off drugs completely.
Scarface.
But I think when it's in the TV format...
Yeah, because it becomes too much. What do you call it? Stringer Bell.
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
it's because you watch that once much.
And then after a while, it's like, the same story and I don't want to...
But it's also because it's... It just dehumanizes.
Yeah, it's a downer.
I also feel that when you're in that kind of sector... that you have to dehumanize your community. You have to dehumanize people. You can't see them as human beings and their stories. There's no empathy, no consideration, no compassion for you to be able to do really, really brutal things to them that you know that is going to decimate entire communities and possibly society.
Look at them.
So it makes it very hard for me because I'm going, okay, yes, I can understand you may not have had the right, you know, upbringing. You are making wrong choices, but you're not creating. You're actually scaling that for other people to make the wrong choices, and that just fills me with so much. So much.
What was that one with
pain.
The?
I think that is part of the reason why I don't watch them as well. I agree. Yeah.
You know what's the one with the guy who was a teacher and then he?
Oh God!
The Netflix one.
Is it killing? It's not called Killing Something. It's something else.
No.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad was the example that you've just said.
I enjoyed Breaking Bad compared to everything else was because he came from... Basically, it's like the origin story of the gangster.
Correct. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Halfway through is what you said about how it now affects the community starts to come through. And going, oh my God, this is what happened with one guy. And then at the end, it's like a whole...
And also, because I'm very political, I'm going, well, why did we let him fall through the cracks that then led to this? So it's like, so what are we doing as a society to ensure that we're not having this happen?
And then
all of a sudden, then it becomes a whole existential crisis of humanity.
I understand. I totally get it.
Honey, absolutely brilliant, because that's one of the first shows where they tied it directly to what it can happen to you. Because it was just about him getting, you know, he got the cancer. Is it cancer? I can't remember what it was.
Cancer. No healthcare.
And all of a sudden, he needs to get money, and then.
But what was interesting is if you break down Walter White's character, not everyone in that situation is going to decide they're going to go and drug lord and destroy entire communities.
Mm.
But it also shows that there's something within himself.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course.
That also, so he himself as a person with his pride and his own should have been me because I didn't make money off the software and things. So we see all of that, but we know human beings are different.
Yes.
So we know that some things may push you in the wrong direction and it may not even be drugs, it could be other things. But yeah, it just depresses me.
There'll be some things that you're like, this is very, the message is very, is that true? And then you check and it's like, oh, it is true. So there's some things that I was like, oh, this is, are they trying to sell me something about women here? Like, and I check, like, oh, it was a woman. Okay, interesting. You should watch it. I learned a lot. I was on the internet a lot to fact check. I learned a lot.
Interesting. Like The Crown.
Yeah, The Crown. They did make the end. Well, you watch it. Vince Staples show, I watched that as well.
I've heard a lot about Vince Staples.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Vince Staples show. So Vince Staples, you would have seen him in Abbott Elementary. Yeah. He was the guy who went out with Janine's character. Yeah.
Yes.
What's in the Telfer bag?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. The Telfer bag. Yes. Exactly. And I remember when I watched that cameo, watched that show, people were like, oh yeah, Vince Staples, because I didn't know him from his rap career.
I didn't know you had a rap career. I thought it was a comedian.
Yeah, but
a lot of people
in the black community were like, Vince, because he's really good. Because apparently he's a very, he has a personality. So people are like, oh, you'd be great acting. So they start putting in things. Okay. And then he has the show. I enjoyed it.
What was it? Netflix as well?
It's on Netflix. But it's very Atlanta to me.
I just want to see what it looks like.
I'm very curious about how you guys would, there's some very obvious, he does it all very, not dry pan. It loves
deadpan.
Deadpan. They love absurd situations. And some are so absurd that you're just like, this is ridiculous, and you laugh. I don't want to, I'm not going to spoil. Because I was like, okay, I didn't love it as much as I loved like the first season of Atlanta. But I'm happy that there's space for this people type like, of black
interesting.
Comedy dramas, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm interested to see what you guys think about it.
Because he did say that he basically called Donald Glover up and asked for a lot of pointers from him, and he really leveraged his network to be able to put this
together.
Oh,
and it's quite short as well. So,
yeah, okay. It's like five episodes.
5 and it's half an hour.
Yeah.
Actually, less than half an hour.
Less than half an hour. Interesting. Yeah, so I was like, okay, it's good that it's out there. It's not like my 100% favorite, but I thought it was interesting.
Should I add this?
Yeah, that's what. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
So yeah, that's Vince Staples show. So I watched that. Then really, I've just been watching anime all around. I watched a classic anime called Maid Sama, because there was nothing really jumping on current anime shows. But I watched this classic called Maid Sama. It's hilarious. I think it's I watched it years ago when I lived in London. It's, I think, 2007, 2008. It's about this straight A student who is the president of her school, and her school becomes co-ed. So they have boys that come to the school, and she's like, basically, she has to discipline all the boys as well. But she's very, very tough. But so she has this like image of being this tough, no shit kind of person. But to make money, she works in a maid's cafe.
So they don't know.
And so somebody finds out, a guy in the school finds out that she works as to the other town.
Yeah.
And hilarity ensues. It is so funny. It is 26 episodes, but it's so good. And then if you Google it, a lot of questions are like, why isn't there a second season of Midsummer? Okay. And then at the time, they said, people didn't like it. The general public didn't like it or whatever.
Yeah, didn't get enough views.
It's so good. It has none of those stupid tropes. It's maybe because it's so, I don't know, female
oriented,
positive. I don't know why they didn't do a second season, but it's one of the best things I've watched.
Okay.
I watched Midsummer, and just in case anyone is wondering, on One Piece and on the Wano Kuni arc, which is the second to last arc. I think the there's
about
an
to,
arc about yeah. to yeah
they're about to join the rest of the of...
I am resisting it. I just want to say that when the Wano Kuni arc is fucking fantastic. They have a complete change. It's almost, it's like they've had a, you know, the Naruto
From Naruto to Shippuden.
Shippuden. You know that Shippuden, they've had about four of those. Yeah, because it's each arc. But okay, this is the best one they've done so far because everything is on theme.
Okay.
So much so that I'm like, they can't beat this. But apparently the new one they have, I keep hearing that.
He's the only person that keeps
getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But down to the music.
Yeah, I know.
I actually was shazamming. Like, I'm sorry, because the theme... The thing is old Japan, and they've just done it so well. That I'm just like, I can't wait to see this one as a live action.
Okay.
I think they will kill it if they have the money. Because even the anime just, I don't want to finish it. But yeah, that's where I am at the moment. Okay. That's all I'm watching. All
right. Okay, good.
Everybody.
All right.
So okay, yeah, so we're done. Okay, so we will see you in the next couple of weeks. We're going to go away and go watch some more videos.
Of course.
I might even watch The Brits.
Oh, okay, that's a threat.
I might even watch The Brits. Honey's
looking away like, I don't know who this person is.
I don't know
who
it is. Well, thank you, hon.
Thank you, Mo.
Thank you, Deji.
Thank you, Mo.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Completely screwed up.
I know.